a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. I want to call to order Senate Health and Human Services. I want to welcome those that are in attendance and those that are listening online. I'll tell you, in the room, we only have three individuals beside the committee and staff. So with that, I will ask the secretary to take roll.
Senators Bradford, Curd, Jensen, Krebs,
here.
Rampelberg,
here.
Soholt,
here.
Hunhoff,
here.
There is a quorum.
Thank you. With that, I'd entertain a motion to approve minutes from our last meeting.
Second.
Moved by Senator Krebs, seconded by Senator Soholt. All those in favor of moving the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. Well, this morning we are gathering for our last item of business, and that is suggestions for recommendations to our e-board for any potential studies that are out there. So I would open it up for committee members to identify if they have any areas or some discussion.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, as I'm looking at how our state is kind of laid out with the populations on both sides being greater than the ones, so to speak, in the middle, and when I'm looking at some of the data that we read from time to time, which indicates that we're going to see an aging population in the state, and when we look at the data that indicates that many of that population really has not prepared well for retirement, It seems to me that as a state, it's incumbent upon us to be looking at the demographics, kind of thinking a little bit about how our state might prepare for some of the demands that would be placed upon state services, and how we might go about making some changes or some investments today that would prepare us for that eventuality, which I believe is coming down the road in the next, 5 to 15 years. So, and I'm not really sure how to what to call this, but it seems to me that we will be required as a state to provide more services than we are right now. And it seems to me that it would be best for us to pre-plan for that and to spend some time digging into the data to allow us to make some good decisions. So I'd just like to discuss that a bit, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Other comments? Senator Soholt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to talk about this subject and maybe expand upon it a little bit is to think about the infrastructure that we have in the state of South Dakota for the demand that Senator Rampelberg was talking about, and then matched with the new models of long-term care, the new philosophy, aging in place, trying to look at having people have support services in relationship to need and not using the most expensive, but yet providing support structures. And I think, I don't know how we would exactly language the summer study, but it's matching the demographics and the payment with services within philosophy of the future. We looked at a bill before this committee this year that we were affirmative on providing some emergency funds if they have to update their fire sprinkler systems and, that whole business. But yet, some of those facilities are last gasp. I mean, it concerns me that, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way to anybody that might be listening. I'm just saying, from an economic standpoint, it's not even incredibly viable anymore from an overall. So it's that, what is the new philosophy of aging care? What is our population in relationship to demand? And what then will be the supply of services in what framework? And then how do we look at possibly paying for that, and what public policy decisions would we have to make? So it's kind of a layered effect of, analyzing our long-term care moving into the future versus just stopgap decisions of policy.
Well, I'm just going to chime in here. In 2008, we had the study, which was the long-term study that dollars were expended for apps. And they came in and they put together some of these options that you're talking about and collected all this data. One, there's been some discussion about updating that data, and I think everything that was recommended has been done, but maybe not to the degree that we need to, because unfortunately we're tied by the reimbursement, and I think you're aging in place when you look at community-based services. The other thought is about the infrastructure of the facilities that we have for long-term care that are out in the areas and having the challenge of meeting the codes And then, again, what the population is, what you're seeing, those designs are not even user-friendly for a resident that lives there because of when they were designed. So, you know, with that, knowing that that study was done, does that need updating? But more importantly, you know, as a planning process, how we look at the state, we can't dictate, we can't mandate, but you have infrastructures that are going to need some kind of replacement. There are no dollars. Are they in the right locations where the populations are going to be? Because we know they're on the periphery, they're not on the middle. And then with the aging in place, are there different delivery systems that could be utilized that would be a better sense for how we take care of our elderly in the future? And because it's so comprehensive and so global, I'm not succinct enough for, I think, in our discussion, how to get to a statement that we could recommend. And I'm open to that. But I think, you know, we've been, other than that one study that was done and we took those recommendations, are we, again, piecemealing? And we got to get out of the piecemeal and get into the policy as to what we should be looking at. I don't know if that makes sense or not. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how to synthesize it. And
Madam Chair.
Senator Rappelberg.
I think, you know, you two nurses have framed it well. And I'm like you. But my simplistic way of looking at it, you know, it seems almost as if we could say that we would like to study the potential demand and the potential availability of long-term care. I mean, that's only part of the aspect. I know you've done a lot more than that, but that would be a starting point, and other things would have to fill in behind it. Now, that's just a suggestion. I know it's much more complex than that.
Senator Soholt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, it's also a workforce issue, because we talk about, you know, we're in these very rural places, and then qualified people. If you think about, you know, the bill that was brought before us saying, you know, we're going to move to a director that doesn't even, you know, have the degrees that we would normally expect. And so we're saying because we can't find that. And I'm not saying that the person that they were thinking of experientially wouldn't be a very good person to do that. So in response to Senator Rappelberg, you know, the supply, it's the demand and then the supply of services. And how does that supply of services look in relationship to new models of long-term care? And how could we launch from that policy document of, you said it was 08, Senator, from the 08 policy document and say, you know, what has changed and where are we at, you know, in relationship to type of service? In that type of service, the ability to even respond to provide that service. You know, it'd be hard to craft right here, sitting here, but I think we could sit down and put something together within this concept.
So, Senator Soholt, would you like to propose that the concept is there and we refine that and then put it forward to the e-board for a potential study?
I would.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
I made a motion. Yes, I would.
Okay, seconded by Senator Krebs. Do we need any further discussion? I know, Senator Kurd, you just walked in. What we're talking about is long-term care and how we redesign, and with the idea if we could conceptually put something together to reassess and put out what, you know, could have an outcome that would help us to prepare how we get ready and have the right delivery models out there for long-term care. Okay.
Madam Chair, I have a comment. Would it be salient, or would you rather vote first? I want to talk about another aspect of what we're trying to do.
I don't care. You can go ahead. We're
okay, thank you. Well, my comment is this. Right now, you know, I know that many, if not most, of our nursing home facilities right now are just on the knife edge from the standpoint of operations. And a big part of this is going to be what we all kind of hate to talk about, but it's money. And candidly, I think this whole it's one thing to put together a structure that that will address the needs, but without underpinning that with some sort of a financing method, we really are we're kind of wasting our time almost. So I think to expand this a little bit more than what you're even talking about, I really believe that we need to take a look at how we do that. Now, here's the problem, Madam Chair. We have the same thing with healthcare providers across the board. We have the same thing with education across the board. And so all of a sudden, how do we go about deciding, you know, which one we support more than the others? And candidly, we can't do that. We got to support them all. But I'm just saying, as part of this discussion, I think it would be critical that we not forget the fact that we have to keep these businesses in operation. Thank you.
Thank you. And certainly reimbursement is the bottom line. But, you know, you pointed to education, right, wrong, or indifferent. I mean, the issue of consolidation, we are now reduced the number of schools that we have. And, I mean, they had to come together to do that. And, yes, education still. But I think that was an approach. And, you know, I don't know if we've seen that entirely with healthcare in that type of mode. And, again, I'm just saying, but certainly reimbursement is part of that. Senator Sohol?
And, you know, I think there is somewhat of a false security in thinking that because a facility actually exists in this community, that that's the proper thing to be done now. And so when you think about aging in place and helping people, it wasn't in South Dakota, but it was in North Dakota. My dad was in need of long-term care services from an Alzheimer's diagnosis, and we kept him at home as long as we could. In fact, probably a couple years longer than, you know, most people would have had the will to do. But there was no support to be able to age him in place. It was the most and I would say that many of our families in South Dakota are challenged with that very thing, that they don't want the nursing home option, but there's no support structures that would be more cost-effective of our public policy dollars within a Medicaid structure or whatever to support them aging in place as long as possible. So some of it is just that mental model that the current nursing home structure that we have is the right one. And lots of research is telling us that except for, you know, really, really tertiary critical people end stage, that's probably not the best thing. But we have a huge gap in how do we provide support to families to be able to handle it longer. Because just say, I hope it all works out for you, isn't not an option. So I think what you're saying to cost is where do we direct our cost to the most, you know, research-based effective aging model.
Well said.
Well, with that, the motion then is to recommend, and we'll come up with a conceptual and certainly share it with the committee prior to submission. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bradford, Curd.
Aye.
Jensen. Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Sohol.
Aye.
Hanhoff.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
To excuse.
Okay. Aye. Great. So, motion carried. This will be forwarded and we'll work on and we'll share that. Other topics. Senator Rampelberg.
I'm kind of wondering a little bit about the data should be driving our decision as it relates to Medicaid. And when we, you know, candidly, I hear a lot of comments all around the issue. And I know in my particular case, at least, it would help me a lot if there were a group of people that I trusted who took some time to kind of develop some data that could be presented in a way that is straightforward and somewhat factual. And you know what? I think it exists out there, and I'm not so sure that a summer study is the way to do this, but I'm just throwing it on the table as an item of interest from my viewpoint.
You know, again, I wasn't on the Medicaid summer study. I didn't get to the meetings. I don't know if that was brought up and if that was part of the review process and, you know, if it doesn't already exist and maybe just need to pull it out. I don't know. Did anybody participate in those that can speak to that? You know, I'm thinking that in that review process, and maybe it's just the point that it's how it's formatted and how it's collected and presented.
Well, Madam Chair, I was on that. This is the group meeting about 3 years ago.
No,
I wasn't on that. I was on one about 3 years ago when it was a Medicaid program put together by the governor. And we spent a lot of time talking about this, if you don't mind me elaborating just a little bit. But basically what we came up with there was how we might provide more prenatal care, how we put together this health home concept. And there was a couple other things that came out of that I thought were actionable, and actually they are working on them right now. But we didn't really talk about thinking about this on down the road and what it really means to our state for and against and what the potential dangers are. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, and that's why, and again, Madam Chair, I realize this is, I don't even know what I'm asking, okay?
You know, on the medical home, and just comment, that is now up and going, and I'm wondering if that's maybe something, again, they did come and present at the beginning of the session when the Secretary of DSS came, if maybe that is something we bring back again on the when the committee comes back next year, and to somehow have that those performance expectations and what's really, are there changes being made, and what are all the indicators that you would use for successful performance of that medical home model, not generally, I mean, people enrolled, yes, but are we seeing that they're changing their behaviors? Are there reductions in the ED, in the hospitalizations that we have some, you know, performance measurements, which they do have? And I would challenge, are they the right performance indicators now and relook at those? But that would just be my thought.
Well, to follow along with that, I happened to talk to a couple of doctors over the weekend, and quite candidly, their take on the health home, is that the right term? Was that it was like the old HMO organizations of a number of years ago, and that it wasn't quite as effective in their viewpoint as I thought it was, quite candidly, after listening to the presentation in the first part of the session. So it almost seems to me, too, that maybe we should be gathering a little wider viewpoint from a number of other people and get some say, okay, if you don't think it's working well, then how can we improve it? Don't sit here and complain about it. I mean, that's just another aspect to this whole process.
Anything else? Well, then, did you want anything formal on that, Senator?
Well, thank you again, Madam Chair. You know, it seems to me that it probably has a lesser prioritization than other things, because I think we're probably a little too early to really draw some real firm conclusions to how well this is working. But I do know that there are better ways to do some things. I just don't know what they are. And at that time, we did the best we could as a committee, and it was well represented, and on and on. But maybe what we're better off to do is give that a little more time before we jump into that with both feet again. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Senator Solholt.
Well, you know, one of the things that we could request versus a full formal summer study, because there has been one done last summer and there was the medical home, but that medical home is being leveraged across the state in different methodologies, so they're not necessarily all the same, like what a Arapa City Regional might be doing versus Nevada versus a whatever. They might be different configurations because people were kind of left to put that together in their own way. But perhaps, and also what is happening with Medicaid expansion in other states. You know, I think just for information for legislators to really understand, like, what are we thinking about? We could ask for just a policy paper to be put together.
Yes, it's a white paper. Yes,
that, white paper.
Yes, that LRC could put together.
That might be helpful to get some factual information of kind of this landscape right now that we could add on to the thinking of the medical home summer study along with the Medicaid summer study last year.
Madam Chair, that I think that's a great idea. I didn't even think of that, but that would address the lack of information that I'm kind of looking for, or that I feel, and hopefully would help us then have a little bit more of a platform with which to address this in coming years. So I think it's a great idea.
Is there any further discussion on requesting a white paper? So we'll wait for our chair to come back, but in the meantime, I would entertain a motion that we would do the request for a white paper to be prepared of the current state of Medicaid models within the United States, Medicaid expansion models, if you will, and then also taking a look at the application of Medicaid configurations within South Dakota. the differences, comparing how the medical home or health home has been leveraged within the state of South Dakota, that we could have as an expansion of the conversation that happened last summer within the governor's legislative summer study.
I make that motion.
Second.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded. Would any further discussion on the motion? And since we will need our chair to move this forward, we're just going to be at ease for a moment.
Madam Vice Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, I was sitting here trying to think of some of the major topics that we've heard presented before this committee this past session. And I'm struggling a little bit to come up with some that have a little more import maybe than others. And we've talked a little bit about autism, and I think that's being handled. We're talking now about Medicaid and various aspects of medical homes. I was sitting here thinking about other issues that we heard that have some long-term impact. And I'm struggling it. Do any of you have some other thoughts that you could help spur a little bit of memory for me?
Well, I'd like to respond to that. I think when we look at, you know, proposing a long-term care summer study and then a policy white paper on the whole Medicaid expansion, those are two major, major topics within the state. And as you indicated, the autism issue, that is coming a recommendation through state affairs, I believe, so that there that would have been something that I would have brought forward today to take a look at that in relationship to treatment and payment and efficacy and research, and I think we're going to get there. I also think we had a large topic in the whole raw milk conversation, which went to fruition of developing a group that's going to come to consensus for policy moving forward. So that was something that took a lot of our time. And I think the other topics that we had this year dovetailed into this. I think over time, maybe not this year, but we are really starting to see that juncture of what's happening with the Affordable Care Act in relationship to what's being covered and paid, in relationship to mandates, the care side, the insurance side, you know, really starting to collide because of the pressure in cost containment and expenditures. So I don't really have any thinking on a magic wand that would get us there over the summer. I'm just saying this is really going to be an incredible conversation. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the state of South Dakota and where we at in expending our dollars and our policy decisions. Perhaps another year that will become more clear to us about, you know, where do we need to head? In the meantime, the Medicaid conversation is probably the most pressing in the Affordable Care Act. But we're just seeing in the whole pressure to consumers, the shifting, and that has always been my concern with the Affordable Care Act, in that this really didn't change and transform care, the models of care, the delivery methodologies, the outcomes, the most cost-effective outcomes, it just shifted dollars. Now, Senator Curd may disagree with me on that, but it's been very frustrating to watch. And, you know, I think when we even look at Medicaid, and hopefully in our conversations, and then I'm going to be quiet because I, you know, why am I just continuing talking? But it's because I have a microphone and I'm the vice chair. But one of the things is that what concerns me is the what I've said all along about Medicaid expansion, that in its current format of not having any transformation backing it up, it's very concerning. And so there are models and methodologies and innovations that we could come to as a state, and we're not so big that we couldn't figure out some of these things through pilot models and using our researchers at our fine universities to help us assure the outcome that would not only be about care outcome, but about cost outcome. So, but I think more to come on that. Senator Kerr, did you want to add anything?
Well, I think you're correct in that the Affordable Care Act isn't really health care reform, it's insurance change. And reform ought to lead to something that's better. And I think the jury at this point has still not reached a verdict about whether the Affordable Care Act has made anything better or just different. Some think it's like the proverbial moving deck chairs around on the Titanic as it sinks. So it's been really an attempt to centralize payment methodologies and formats out of a small group of people who feel like they hit the nail on the head with the right design. And we see every day more and more how broad a swath that's cutting across the nation, with people losing health insurance that they were promised they could keep, accelerating deductibles and out-of-pocket expenses, and plans that were once affordable have become unaffordable. So I think a great opportunity continues to exist for additional payment reforms through multiple different models, and hopefully our government will be smart enough to let the states be the laboratories they were designed to be and come up with some solutions that work in their own backyard. Hasn't shown any real willingness to accept that at this point. But there are people working on ways to improve what's there and perhaps provide other opportunities and avenues. So the top-down model never seems to do anything except drive cost and increase satisfaction, or decrease satisfaction, excuse me. And I think we're seeing that some on a national level, and I think as it continues to roll out over the next several years, when the delays stop and we're all faced with the reality of what passed in March of 2010, that I think the country, at least the way the United States is structured at this point, probably won't stand for that delivery model long term. And if anything, I think the Affordable Care Act in March of 2010 did nothing other than guarantee that we'll continue to debate health care and change policy for the foreseeable future.
All right. We have a motion and a second to request a white paper, a policy white paper, on the current state of Medicaid expansion models and health home expansion within the state of South Dakota, and to do a comparison therein. Is there further discussion on that motion? Seeing none, Secretary will call the roll. All in favor say aye. All opposed, no.
Senators Bradford is excused. Curd.
Aye.
Jensen's excused. Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Five yes to it.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Anything else? Now, I know we have some public here, and we, you know, do at times take some public testimony on any suggestions. So I would open it up if someone has some suggestions, but to be brief. Well, looks like everybody's satisfied with what we're doing. Was anybody going to say anything?
That might be a leap.
All right. Well, with that, then I have two final items of business. You know, this year we had two new people that serviced our committee. Roxanne Hammond, she joined LRC this summer, and she was our LRC staff person. And Lois Henry then was our secretary. And you both have done an outstanding job. I want to say thank you. You've kept me in line because I've been out of line a few times, Roxanne, and I appreciate that. And Lois, you've been so timely in getting everything done and so efficient. We've got our agendas out and everything. I really appreciate that. So we have some gifts here for you. And since I like to promote South Dakota products, I had to go to my retailer in Yankton and get some Hebda produce, which is healthy and homemade. So, you know, Deb and I, both being nurses, we're certainly concerned about people's wellness and certainly encourage fresh products. And with that, we want to, as a committee, please join me in a round of applause to thank these individuals. And I also want to say thank you to all of you. It has been a pleasure serving and a privilege. You know, this committee, we've had some tough issues this year. In the last years that I've served on it, you've always done an excellent job. And I think the important point is that you're always professional. We all have our opinions, and they're not always the same. But how we had our debate and our discussion was always so good and always favorable in the sense where we were able to reach whatever conclusion we did, but we did it in a amicable way, and it worked very well. So I think the people of South Dakota are very fortunate to have all of you serving in the legislature, and you've done such an outstanding job. I want to say thank you to all of you for making this a pleasure. Thank you.
Madam Chair,
Senator Silholt.
And I would like to just thank our esteemed chairperson, Jean, for how she's guided this committee and helped us through some difficult conversations. And you've just demonstrated incredible leadership. And we really appreciate working with you on this committee and all the work that you've done on our behalf. Thank you so much.
Madam Chair. Senator Chris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think it also should be noted that you are term limited out. And I think the people of South Dakota should be grateful for your just dedication. You have spent countless hours over how many years? How many years has it been?
14.
14 years that you've served the people of South Dakota, whether it be on Appropriations Committee, many summer studies, deep discussions with the Executive Board. You've led the Executive Board, the GOAC Committee. There's been a lot of challenging issues that you've had to take on head on as chair or vice chair in some role. And I think that most people don't realize the amount of time that it takes out of your personal lives and your jobs and businesses. And I think that we just owe you a huge thanks and gratitude from the state of South Dakota for your time these last 14 years.
Thank you so very much. And with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Moved by Senator Rampelberg, seconded by Senator Solt. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.